Blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami. Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Saha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharma, Saranam, Gacchami. Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami. Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Kriya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is a holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies or practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, and in the practice of ever-expanding faith, and in the practice of constant devotion, and in the practice of inquiry through correct jnana. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow, having sacrificed all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires, I am born in karma, I am heirs of karma, I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this harm. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Duti ambi, tati ambi, saha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, and the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. If anything suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If anything suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering.
Shall we look at this morning? Jeff.
Recently, read Sherry's article in the June Monastery Newsletter about a lot of amazing stuff. That was a fabulous article. But one about being fit at any age.
Right.
It's possible to be fit at any age.
Uh-huh.
Our lives get smaller. The tendency is to get to be less and less active.
Right, you sort of said, well, yeah, okay, I'm this age now, so that means I can only, uh-huh.
Right. As if that's something good. But I really love the idea that our lives get smaller and smaller, and I really love the idea that so much of the fun of life is in participation.
Yeah.
And the more able we are,
yeah,
the more we're able to participate.
Right.
And I really, really identify with that. So, been here for a little less than 2 weeks so far, mm-hmm. and with various physical things,
mm-hmm.
you know, participated in a retreat, which was
yep.
fabulous, and then in terms of the life of the monks,
mm-hmm.
Participating in a limited way,
mm-hmm.
in certainly in terms of the work and that, and each time I come here, I've been coming here once a year recently, and each time I come here, the desire to come and be here as a monk is increased.
Uh-huh.
And it's really strong this time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And recognizing that I'm not in a physical condition to be able to do that at this time.
Uh-huh.
Although two big things in the last 7 or 8 months have, that were huge issues, are no longer issues.
Wow.
So it's like, oh, wow, you know, this is exciting.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, before it seemed like, okay, it was going to take some miracles. You know, I feel like I've got two miracles.
You had two miracles.
Yeah, right. Right.
Right. It's so funny, isn't it? Because this is going to take some miracles, and we can just hear that undercurrent of, and it's not going to happen. You know, right? But then these two things happen, and you realize, okay, maybe it's going to take a miracle, and the miracles are happening. And I would project kind of those two things together. The miracles are facilitated by our participation.
Oh. Wow, yeah, I hadn't caught that. But that rings true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, because certainly I was active in, you know, whatever it was,
right.
The seeking healthcare and, you know, that's
right.
What I did.
And looking at it, I project spiritually, and it's all levels at which we look at those things.
Right, yeah. Well, and following guidance.
And following guidance.
You know, it was clear, especially one of them, it was like, this feels like the right thing to do. And these other things that I would want to do don't feel like the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And going with the...
But being willing to calibrate to that guidance and then follow it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, again, in the newsletter article, so kind of what I've been looking at a little bit related to all of this is... I don't know, I was recording about it this morning. I wonder if it's a middle way kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the response to the article was, oh my gosh, this is so exciting. I love this. And, you know, really inspired.
Uh-huh.
And then the, okay, here's where I want to be with this, and here's where I want to be with this, and here's where I want to be with this, and here's how I want this to look, and, you know, and if I can get in this condition with all these things,
uh-huh.
then I'll be in great shape.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm ready, and,
yeah.
you know, do all that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, just being a little suspicious of that process.
Yep.
You know, and knowing that, kind of, I don't know for sure if this is duality, but it kind of feels like it is. The other side could be, well, I've got so much going on in my life, and you know, yes, I'm doing healthcare stuff, and you know, exercising, da da da, and you know, I just, you know, I'm not worried that it's just going to go totally out and not get any attention, but. That the busyness of life will, anyway, so just looking at really the beginnings of the inquiry of, you know, I want to make this a priority, it is really important to this person, and just kind of paying attention to all of that and looking at, well, what's the now thing?
So it sounds like in that, reading that article, there was so much resonance, so much inspiration and enthusiasm and excitement.
Yeah.
And then seeing the next thing that happened sounds like a process that caught your attention as being, this is familiar.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure about that.
Right.
And almost it sounds like if I'm tracking, kind of got put into a duality. Oh, either this, we're going to get this on track, and this way, and this is going to look this way, and this way. Well, but yeah, but we're pretty busy, so I don't know. I mean, maybe, So kind of an either or, and you're looking at, I wonder if there's a middle way.
Right. Because here, with all kinds of time, you know.
Exactly. This sounds like a good idea, and this sounds like a good idea. And I don't know why I didn't think of this before. Of course, I can.
Yeah. There, you know, I tend to be on one side of the duality. But I'm also, anyway, and this side of that duality is very exciting because it's like anything is possible, and I can, you know, I can decide how I want to compete with it, you know, and all that kind of stuff, and you can do this, you know, and all anyway, but then the other side is just the caught up in the, you know, stuff of life.
Right.
There's too much to do, and blah 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 blah, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so, yeah, just looking at, right now, really, I'm just kind of looking at, okay, well, you know, I talk to the mentor, talk to other people, you know, just be in conversation about it, look at it, ask life and guidance, you know, to bring it to guidance, you know, and just, okay, one step at a time, rather than this grand plan, you know, we can look at, you know, we'll look at this thing, and well, what seems like the most important thing to look at right now, let's take a look at that, and, you know.
Well, and I would project that, you know, for all of us, you know, those of us doing awareness practice, we read something like that, and what resonates for us is the process of what's being pointed at. And then, of course, the way conditioning can take, make it conditional is to plug it into an outcome. Right? Oh, I'm going to get here with this, I'm going to get here with it, and that's going to be so great. And then, right? But really what we're seeing, I would project, the possibility is the process. And that process can be practiced through anything.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, that's really great then, because it is such a temptation to go here, because it seems to feel so good.
Yes, exactly.
But I like that the excitement can be about, what got my attention when you said it is the mentoring and being with this human being and the excitement of practicing with what is now in the, you know, in the most kind way, you know, and be, you know, being open to possibility.
Yes, exactly.
And just it's open to possibility, not the needing a particular outcome, but I get to be with this person, loving this human being, practicing in this,
And I love that, with that phrase you keep using of, what's now? Because at least for me, kind of that place of like, oh, with this we could, and this we could, it just subtly puts it out there in the future, where in fact what's happening is, I'm experiencing, we could even say, the possibility now, and at least from what you're describing, that's happened recently for you, what you read in that article is a, affirmation is the word that's coming to me, but like a reinforcement of what has been going on for Jeff.
Right.
Because the process you have been in is one that's facilitated these miracles of these really big things that have shifted in the physical. And so then you read about it in the article, and it could be a place of, wow, thank you. That's the track I really want to stay devoted to and committed to, instead of, oh, I know what we could do now. We could, as if it's going to be different than it's been. And then when it isn't, right, which is, it's going to be filtered through that checking to see, is it different? Am I excited? Is that possibility that I was going to, is that happening? Well, no, not really, because this is still and that's still.
Yeah, I like the idea of being devoted to the track. Rather than the outcome.
Yeah.
Devoted to the track, the process, the love.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm just so grateful to be here and arriving to the monastery and have this place available and maintained and so close that it's you know, so supportive for for this being. And what I start to see is that kind of the visits connect. Like, I still remember the feel like previous visit. You know, and now, and
you just ran a little errand and then you came home again.
So it's like an interesting point when it starts to inverse to like being here and going there to visit.
Yeah, there's, you know, one monk who has spent a lot of time away from the monastery recently talked about it, my out in the world workshop, right? Being a monk out in the world.
Yeah.
Now I get to be a monk at the monastery. Now I get to be a monk out in the world.
And what I see is kind of changes in the body, and in practice as it expands. And what I noticed yesterday, arriving to the monastery, there is like usual kind of relaxation. okay, I'm here.
Mm.
Here, and this, exhale. Mm. And then, what I notice after that, there is a period of deepening exhale,
mm,
where it continues,
mm,
and it feels like like a sponge when you wrinkle it.
Squeeze it out.
Squeeze it out, mm, and you let it go, and it expands.
Yeah.
But then it continues slowly.
Yeah.
Expansion.
Yeah.
So that's what I feel in my body.
Soaking it in. Soaking it in.
Slowly expanding. And connecting, and and there is such a peace comes with it, that this is the right place. I'm home. This is, I don't remember when I heard Shiri said, this is the best I can get, something, this is as happy as I can be.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, as conditioning always tries to insert itself into like, wow, that's not perfect, and that's not perfect, and we can go a million things.
Right. Yeah.
But we can also stay here is,
yeah,
this is the best place, this is as happy as I can be,
yeah,
and I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
There is no need to go anywhere else.
Conditioning's ability to nitpick is infinite.
Yeah.
If only it was 75 and not 74.
Yeah, and then speaking of weather is perfect too.
Yeah, try not to jinx it, Pasha.
What I've also seen, kind of with practice, I'm more prepared. You know, I'm prepared for any sort of weather.
Yes.
And such a kindness to walk into the hermitage and have a fan there.
Mm-hmm. That you couldn't bake bread in. Yes, exactly, to have a fan there. So it's that place of, I know that I'm adequate to whatever comes up. And, boy, I can enjoy it when it's just right.
Yeah.
Not too hot, not too cold. There's even a fan to turn on. It gets hot. Yeah.
And there's a yoga mat. It's such a kindness that the experience of like, I'm walking alone, and then boom, I'm faced with kindness I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
And it's just it's just such a place of like receiving and appreciating, connecting with it, and realizing, yes, kindness, it's a miracle. It's here.
And I'm actually here to receive it.
To receive it,
yeah.
And the last thing about the also going through a lot of different changes, physical changes in the body. I recently went to physical therapy for my shoulder. First I was prescribed some medicine, then operation, and I said like, wait a second, let's try something like, non-invasive, because that's not the first time I'm facing with traditional medicine. Quickly going, well, we tried this pill, didn't work. Surgery.
Here, we'll cut you open. That'll definitely help. Yeah.
So, I said, like, is there like physical therapy available? And with such some kind of reluctance, they gave me
physical therapy.
Yeah. Which is like, I'm in a provider which is known for preventive and kind of methods. So anyway, I went to physical therapy and I got the exercises. I start doing them religiously because I'm faced with open or do your exercises.
Yeah.
Right? And after what, 8 weeks, I go see again, and I notice there is a kind of micro improvements in the body. And then they do the measurements, and the doctor, physical therapy doctor, says, well, that's strange. Maybe you didn't have that thing
Because we usually don't have such improvements.
So we must not have had that.
Yeah, maybe you're...
Oh, that's perfect. That is just so perfect, the lens through which we see, right? Well, must not have been there to begin with. Yeah.
And it's like, wow. And she shared me all these measurements because I didn't feel as much improvement as it was measured, so... And then we just did exercises, and now I'm more inspired to continue because I've seen these small improvements. I'm okay with, and I want to be fit, like Sherry said.
It's exactly the article that Jeff was talking about, and that place that Sherry talked about, where what often happens to people in what you're talking about is, okay, good, now I don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah.
But what that possibility for us is, and this is what she's been saying a lot recently, if I feel this good now, what else is possible if I stay with this?
If I stay, if I continue practice.
Exactly.
And practice of including this body and appreciating and giving what it wants, and it wants physical activity and exercise. And what I now project is, it's just like my everyday life doesn't involve a lot of shoulder movements. And
we'll help you out with that.
Yes. Thank you. And
we got buckets to carry. We got all kinds of nice shoulder things.
Yes. So that's what leads to kind of limiting the motions, and then what you don't use it, you lose it. What was the same?
Yeah.
So and then some minor injury to non-exercise place cause big troubles, and then
exactly
surgery and so on.
Yeah.
So that's what I see kind of in my lab practicing.
That's really good. Thank you. So go ahead.
So I've been, it's just a really rich time. In that discussion about just being open to possibilities, and what I've just been, it seems like a smack up against a lot is the I know. Just doesn't leave you open to possibilities.
It really doesn't. Well, I know.
It really doesn't.
Yeah.
And I don't know, in my experience, I don't even know I'm in the I know.
Yeah.
You know?
I do know.
It's just like, it just seems, it's
why assumption is such a big deal in practice.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because by the very nature of it, we don't see it.
We just don't see it.
It's just, it's back here, and it's running the show, but we can't see it.
Yeah. And I just had I had kind of a funny little, one of those experiences of just washing the kitchen floor, which has just been this kind of nemesis, you know. Just always washing the kitchen floor, it just never gets clean. You know?
Is this a Sisyphus kind of a pushing episode kind of a...
What is going on? And so I just had this funny little experience. It's kind of like the Jesus and the barcode thing. You know, scrubbing the kitchen floor for the umpteenth million times. But I saw the tiles. I only ever saw the tiles in the kitchen. We have a tile floor in the kitchen. So I wanted to clean the tiles. And I was cleaning the tiles. And suddenly my brush slipped. And a gazillion pounds of dirt just popped up. And I realized, it's an entire floor. It's not just a sea of tiles. It's a floor. And then the tiles were sitting in the middle of a sea of dirt. And because that just didn't... Let's see. Yeah, you know, it's just how you look at things.
Uh-huh.
It's like the thing the tiles were sitting in didn't exist.
Uh-huh.
That didn't exist.
So they're sitting in a pile of dirt, but yeah. I don't see that.
I don't see that. I just see the pile. I don't know. It was just one of those moments like, whoa.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah.
I just was like, and I know. Yeah. I know what I'm doing here. I know what I have to get clean.
Yeah.
And I, yeah. you know, there's just no other possibility. So anyway, it's just kind of funny. It was like, oh,
such a tangible example.
It's like a tangible example of that, where yeah. suddenly just everything just opened up to me. Like,
wow.
you know,
yeah.
went from a part of a floor to an entire
whole system.
To a whole system.
Right?
A whole system.
Where all these things are intertwined.
Yeah.
And now that I mean, it's so much like looking at our own process, right?
Yeah.
And now that I see that, I can work with it literally
yeah.
in a whole different way.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It just, like, everything just expanded. And and that just seems to be, I also recently found out I was hitting a bell with another end of a bell striker than anybody else. And it's so funny because, you know, it's in one of those times when you just, it is like one of those things that kind of like the carpet just gets pulled out from underneath you.
Yeah.
Like, huh?
Yeah.
You know, there's just like no other possibility.
Right.
I mean, it's like going around with an, it's like finding out that everybody was holding the tongs of the fork and eating with the handle. And you were holding the handle and
right.
you with the tongs
right.
or vice versa.
Or vice versa, yeah.
And you're like, wait a minute. It's,
yeah.
No, you know, it's
oh,
like.
That's so good. Because if that's all you knew from the very start,
uh-huh.
then, let's see, we'll save the science together. So from the start, you would have been accommodating in whatever way was needed to
yeah.
let's go with the handle. You're eating with the handle, right?
Right.
So you would have been doing whatever was needed to eat with the handle,
mm-hmm.
and a whole world would get created
yeah.
around that,
yeah.
right?
Exactly.
And all kinds of assumptions and huge things
yeah.
get built around it.
Yeah.
And from that place, I project of, I know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want anyone else to give me any other information.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, why are you people da-da-da or ha-ha-ha?
Yeah.
Because, of course, they're going to be seeing things in a really different way.
Right. Right.
For them, they're using the tongs.
Yeah.
Support, right? So
yeah.
that's going to be a different.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, whole cultures can get built up.
Whole cultures get built up around that. And then to have the willingness to, like, well, let's see what it's like to eat with the handle.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And to just taking it all back to this is a practice of direct experience.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What is your experience rather than
oh, that's so good.
What is your
yeah.
idea
yeah.
of
yeah.
the experience?
Because if I'm tracking, that place of having the rug ripped out from under
mm-hmm.
me is a place that ego does not want.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
what it is a profound waking up moment.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? And ego doesn't want you awake.
Yeah.
So then the two options are, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking
mm-hmm.
about? Or, I project, which
mm-hmm.
is part of what you're pointing at. Oh, okay, you're right. Fine. I'll just do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're pointing at is, oh, cool. Huh. Well, let me try that out.
Yeah.
Let me see what my
yeah.
experience is of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very humble place.
It's a very humble, and it is a profound awakening. I've been gifted this week with incredible, just incredible love.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like, yeah, a lot of it has just been building on that, like having a lot of just assumptions
yeah.
just laid out and
yeah.
And then the willingness to
yeah.
say, okay.
yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's check that out.
Let's check that out.
You know, let's go. And just being in this place of, there's this wonderful poem by Hafiz, and I think the name of it is It's Rigged.
Mm.
And
good.
It's rigged,
mm.
and just being in that place of knowing it's rigged.
It's rigged.
It's rigged in your favor.
Yeah.
There is just no way.
Yeah.
You can't. There's just no way.
Yeah.
You can't win.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Or there's just no way you can't get home again.
Yes. Yes. And when it, you know, it's like, God, it doesn't feel that way because it's so, you know, this happens, it's painful and all these things, because it's rigged against ego.
It's rigged against
and
ego.
And when we get identified with that, which
yeah.
we do,
yeah.
it's fine.
Yeah.
It feels horrible.
It does. Yeah, and I think that's kind of like the poem. Go for it.
Yeah.
You know, go for it. Just go for all that ego stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's rigged against it.
Right.
You know, it's just, you know, if you just, no matter what, you just can't help.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're caught in the I know or the
the rug's coming out.
Eating with the, eating with the handle, the fork, you know, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a rig. So anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank
you. So, you know, with that experience where you see something and it's hard to decide if the content is juicier or the process by which you saw it is juicier, you know. So it's so cool to so I had one of those happen, and the process was that I've been having these days and days in the last week or two of sort of blue, melancholy, sad.
Mm-hmm.
And just going through those days,
mm-hmm.
and watching the process of trying to see why,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and it was kind of, you know, there was a death in my family and in the past week, and then there was, you know, some low energy, and then there's this physical thing that, well, maybe it's sad, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I could just see my the process of trying to make sense of this sadness that's here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just going along, you know, doing that, paying attention, doing that, and then I wake up to a recording. Well, first of all, I play my recordings through the night for the first time in a long time, because once we have our windows open and people are nearby, I'm really reluctant to do that. And so I notice almost every night there's a little bit of a little battle, a debate whether to do it. So for whatever reason, I did it this night.
Mm-hmm.
Woke up to a reading from the Perennial Philosophy on emotion, from the chapter on emotionalism,
mm-hmm.
that just nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the presence of mind to hear it
yeah.
in the wee hours of the morning.
Uh-huh.
Then to remember it when I even woke up even more,
awesome.
Record, I mean, it's like, oh my God,
yeah.
talk about being rigged
yeah.
in our favor.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just so, I mean, it's so spiritual, it's so religious,
mm-hmm.
you know, that place of, I don't know, you know, this and that. And it's not like even, you know, stepping back and seeing that process.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're seeing it all,
mm-hmm.
but there's sort of nothing kind of dropping in, and those pieces aren't coming together. And, but it does occur to you to listen to recordings all night, and for whatever reason, you know, even though there's that debate, it's just, okay, I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's that one. And that's the one that somehow you're awake to hear
yeah.
enough to take it in, and then to remember that it happened and to record about it.
Yeah, and to work with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just sort of like how fascinating the content itself was.
Yeah.
And then a thick layer of goodness around that, of how sweet the process of being so well guided
yeah. Yeah.
is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the process, and then a little bit about the content.
Mm-hmm.
So what was talked about first about how okay, I read something and oh. Yes, you know, and that emotionalism,
mm-hmm.
or the emotion gets kind of brought in. This is my experience anyway. And then on the other side, there can be days and days of melancholy and blue, whatever. And there's just all this emotion
mm-hmm.
that gets attached
mm-hmm.
to a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And what this reading from the Perennial Philosophy was pointing to was how that it's the individualized self that is that the emotion heightens.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what needs to be died to in order for the actual ultimate reality.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, in the days that I, since seeing this, I've seen all sorts of ways that I was conditioned to think that, what Sherry always says, that emotion makes things real. Mm-hmm. And especially, in some ways, especially religious experiences.
Mm, yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So I grew up in like a charismatic renewal kind of time. You know, I don't know what the other people called it, but you know, that just a real...
I don't think I call it anything.
Well, a lot of revivalist kind of feelings of emotionalism. But then there's also the deep penitence and the sorrow. And you know, so whatever it is,
a lot of emotion, whichever side it was on.
Exactly. And this is another thing that Aldous Huxley makes, the point he makes in that chapter, which it doesn't even have to be heightened. Right. It can be very low grade and constant. That's what I had been experiencing. Just this sort of blue, just sort of...
Yeah.
And the blessing in it all was seeing, was getting back and seeing that it can look like anything.
Uh-huh.
And what I got to was just this compassion for this dear person who just wants to live life directly.
Yeah.
Directly live in her experience.
Yes.
And then a little emotion gets here, and then a little emotion gets out of here, and then let's patch a little bit over here, and then let's feel this over here.
Yeah.
And it's not that emotion, it's not that it's bad, because that would be just going to another on-ramp for emotional. Exactly. It's more like, it's more like there's another thing that he says is there's the peace that passeth understanding that the Bible talks about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I was conditioned, well, let's go for that one. Mm-hmm. The peace that passeth understanding.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also the peace that doesn't pass the understanding. Just the ordinary, simple, humble peace.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that's what I projected, and I go to this place where, what a, that one is like the root. That, so he calls the first one the fruit of the Spirit. That one he's the, and then this one is the root.
Mm-hmm.
And that is such a, such a place that I'm feeling wanting to cultivate.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that root. Mm-hmm. That I think, if I'm tracking what you're saying, that root isn't, I'm not peaceful. That's just the peace without that kind of emotion added, makes things real, makes me real place.
Yeah.
Right? Again, it's a very humble place.
Yes. And so to take it into what the physical activity stuff that Sherry was talking about, you know, I mean, so she says, I decided to start jumping rope.
Mm-hmm.
So I get to jump rope and experience jumping rope.
Right.
Not, and just plain and simple that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Nothing more.
Not right. And I think, to me, that's what you're describing when you say, like, this sweet human who just, you know, I would project, like all of us, you know, what's the word you would use there? Desire and craving. Just wanting that simple experience of being alive and being here. And it's not about her.
Yeah.
And she knows that. But what we get so bamboozled with is that emotion that gets tacked onto it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's, oh, yes, you could, you know, and then off we go. Or it's, melancholy. And then I'm not really sure why that is. And, but whatever it is, it's all tacked on and really robs her of just that root experience.
Yeah. So last week, as a support to the TINW retreat, getting to do so many beautiful physical tasks.
So many things.
and doing them is a pure joy.
Yeah.
A pure joy in the service of the heart.
Yeah.
And when there was this tag along of, I wonder why I feel so sad. What's going on where I feel so, you know, it's sort of, it's okay. It's not a, you know, it's not a problem that's there, but it is a distraction. it, yes, does sort of siphon off a little bit of the joy of getting to check the compost and toilets and to water the plants and all of that. So, you know, I mean, yes, we can certainly be the expanded awareness that holds it all. That's absolutely so. And it's really good to recognize what the ego game kind of is in any given time, and that seemed to be the one that was going on.
Yeah, so it sounds like, almost like we could be suspicious that that's why it's there. You know, so I'm looking around for, is it this that happened, is it this that happened? And maybe, you know, maybe there was something that happened that there was an authentic response to, that you were like, okay, great, that's good material, we can use that. And then it just starts talking to us about it in order to interrupt the simple joy of the surface that's so obviously going to mirror the experience the human wants to have.
Yes, that's exactly it. And it kept it going long after the genuine sadness would have kind of run its course.
Right, right. And have us looking around for, well, what is it?
Yeah, just like a residual.
Yeah.
Residue. Yeah. So good to see all of it.
It does seem rigged in our favor.
Does seem rigged in our favor.
And also, I love that, like, what I'm seeing from my laboratory, because that's kind of what group feels like. And I love it because
so recording on my notes.
And then I'm listening going, oh, in a little experiment I'm doing, I didn't see that.
Yeah. Oh, let me go back and I'll
in
the,
let me try, even just right now, look, it already, it already changed. I think I talked about this maybe a month ago or so, but I guess I'm just seeing it again, that the level of support that's always going on. And it's astounding, and it reminds me of the Jesus and the footsteps and the prince. So there's, you know, where were you? I was all on my own.
My heart outside.
Yeah.
You abandoned me.
I was carrying you. Those are
my footsteps. Thank you very much.
I think it's been most of my life. You know, I couldn't see that I was being carried. I didn't feel the support, I imagine, because the attention is on.
Yeah, the conversation is looking for the not support.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just fun to, you know, well, a couple of things. One, just the unprecedented aspect of being able to go off property during a retreat so I can go talk to some medical people and get some rest. And just that, I guess what I'm seeing in all of the support that I'm getting is just the free nature of it. It's not, it doesn't feel like it's with conditions. I mean, ego tries to make it that. Okay, well now you've got to make it up. or something like that. But it's very clear, at least where I live, it's not coming from, you know, I can see where that's coming from.
Yeah.
And then just seeing some friends while I was home, it always astounds me. I've been living here at the monastery for almost 5 years, and I only see people, I only talk to people twice a year, and it's like they really want to see me. They're glad to see me. We jump right into conversation, and it just goes against the conditioned belief that relationships and love and connection are tenuous, which I guess on some level in a conditioned way they are. Yeah, but it still keeps breaking down some belief internally about me, I guess, being not worth it or not memorable or people that they would forget about me or that kind of thing. And just to be able to go back and have that mirror. And it doesn't feel like me as a personality. You know, like... I went to one appointment and just got completely identified, like, felt really defeated, slumped over, had an appointment with a friend afterward, and it was just okay to be in that place. Even though we only thought, you know, the conditioned idea would be, well, get together, you know, you only see this person twice a year, you're going to go on and on.
Be Scott.
Yeah.
So But you weren't. You just were present to what was going on.
And by the way, then I moved through pretty quickly.
Yeah, my bad. Yeah.
And by the way, the person was really grateful that I was just where I was.
Yeah, of course, because, you know, you said something fun a minute ago where, you know, so there's this idea that, you know, relationships are tenuous, you know, and you said maybe from a conditioned place they are, which would mean that the less access we have to each other, the better shot, actually, we have, right? Because kind of that, I'm going to maintain this relationship is code for, I'm going to do everything I can to screw it up. Right.
Yeah, and maintain this relationship with ego that are my most intimate relationship. That's what that's about.
Right? Yeah, we were talking about that on the retreat, that place of, you know, I have trouble with authority, which is really the voice in my head has trouble with anyone else in life being authority over its human. I belong to it, so only it gets to tell me what to do. No one else gets to tell me what to do. Same principle.
Yeah. And then you hear something like, so the idea is to have less access to the person, and then you're going to feel connected. I mean, whoa, that's what we're doing?
Yeah, which, you know, that, of course, is a process, not a content, right? Mm-hmm. So, because if we were with someone every day in presence, you know, that would work too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But as you say, it's so fun to see all the ways we're supported.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that as we really become accustomed to that process, we begin to see that it's rigged. So it's not, you know, for a lot of people, it feels like, well, yeah, I'm supportive of the monastery. But when I'm here,
yes.
What I realize is I'm actually always supported.
Yeah. Yeah, and when we're in that process of support, and someone else was talking about that, the outcomes are irrelevant in a way. It's like, so I went to the second appointment, and then I had a chance to do 200 recordings, I talked with a friend, I got and checked with, there's a bunch of stuff operating in the background that I thought I was kind of in touch with, but I really wasn't until I was.
Yeah, and maybe that helped me.
Yeah.
Maybe that was great to help me see that.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, exactly. And so I went into an appointment and was sort of equally disappointed / equally helped. I mean, it didn't seem like the content was that different, but I felt really supported coming out of there.
Uh-huh.
And I felt supported like that the rest of the day and the rest of the trip. And it's kind of like, and I can relate to that, you know, getting excited about something. I mean, there's a life impulse,
yeah.
And then it has to get in there.
Has to.
Great, you know, so it takes me out of here,
yeah.
Puts it into some idea of how it's going to go, which is the beginning of that feedback. And it's sort of like, you know, in this health issue, it's like, well, if we have the rest of our life and it's the thing that gets us to be in a process of support.
Great.
Right.
Because I'll need something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Meaning, if nothing's part of the rigged in our favor too.
Yeah, exactly.
That we need some kind of content,
yep.
To practice with.
Yep.
Something that will get our attention.
Yep.
Something that we will feel motivated by.
Exactly.
Which is, seems to be what we need. And it's through.
And it's tailor made for us.
And it's tailor made for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Any.
So many things, you know, come up with it.
Yeah.
I just came back from being away, and it was a trip that was organized mainly around seeing friends that we haven't seen for about 5 or 6 years.
Right.
Some of whom are now in their 80s and 90s, so I want to make sure you start that space, because you don't know if they'll be able to again. And
can
so
folks back there here?
Just barely.
Maybe a little more volume.
So it involved quite a lot of driving from place to place. So a number of things that were just interesting. One was, just in terms of what was just being reflected, how easy it was to be with those people. Mm. That we haven't seen for 6 years. It was just easy.
Yeah.
Just pick up where you left off kind of thing.
Yeah.
And how, just how lovely that always is.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to be any kind of feeling your way, you know, it wasn't there.
Yeah.
And that was quite wonderful.
Yeah.
And I was also aware that after a certain period of talking and, you know, being with them, I was ready to go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And we were with one friend who I project is far more extroverted than I, or than we. And I think he could have talked all afternoon, just chatted away. And after about 3 hours, like, You know, I just remember, I've done,
yeah.
It was delightful, and
yeah.
So that was fun to see too.
Yeah, just to be present for that.
Yep.
Not make it mean anything. It doesn't have to, I don't feel awkward. I don't have to get resentful. I can go, okay, well, yeah. Lovely seeing you.
I think we're going to know this. Yeah, so that was lovely. And just another thing to, well, part of what happened was noticing what I didn't like as just noticing.
Mm.
That was just so helpful because what I realized was I don't like driving long distances anymore. Mm. It feels like a big waste of time.
Mm.
Sit in the machine and just sit there and drive.
Mm.
So I used to love to drive,
mm.
and now I don't.
Mm.
And I was doing most of the driving, and I, it was so neat to just notice I don't like this.
Mm.
So do you know, I mean, so
I don't have to not like the not like it.
That's right. I don't have to get into anything about it. It's just a really helpful thing to notice
mm-hmm.
when we plan the next vacation. Which is not gonna be like this. And so again, that was just a helpful thing to see. It used to be that when I would go away, we'd go away for vacation, I would be looking at, well, is this a place I'd like to live? Is this a place I'd like to live? And what happened on this trip was I really like where I live. You know, it really reinforced
mm.
that I live in a place I really like.
Mm.
And so they went, that it's funny that sort of comparison was working in the opposite direction.
Uh-huh.
And that was a really lovely discovery.
Yeah.
Because I've always loved being home. I've always loved coming home,
mm.
wherever the home is. But it was more like my personal home, my immediate home. This was like where I live is a good place.
Uh-huh.
And I know that urge to get away
uh-huh.
or be someplace else.
Yeah.
Just reinforced that I thought, well, how nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's reinforced that.
Yeah. To be in a proper zone, loving where I am.
Yeah.
That's really handy.
Loving where I am. Yeah. And then just one other thing, just talking about fitness. So some of the people we visited were rather old. One woman was 91. And she regretted that we could only take a mile and a half walk because her usual 5 mile walk wasn't available that day. I mean, I just love that.
Yeah.
She's almost deaf as a stone now, but other than that,
wow.
She just is.
You don't need to hear her walk.
Don't need to hear her walk. So, but I'm aware that one thing that happens as I'm older is my body gets stiffer.
Mm.
Sooner.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we were walking on a pavement,
mm-hmm.
which we don't hear.
Yeah, yeah.
Praise God, we don't hear.
Yeah.
And so, I remembered that years ago, in the New Year's Eve, well, first of all, we always put prostrations in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God. It's so helpful. I've been doing it since the first practice retreat, and I swear by it. But at the end of the day, we were walking on pavement, and I remember that we, the yoga teacher, a number of years ago, gave us a set of joint exercises
uh-huh.
and a put out, and I took the put out.
Oh, mm-hmm. Right.
I've done that put out for probably 4 or 5 years and never even looked at it.
Uh-huh.
But we did it anyway. We did.
And you still have it.
I still have it. Because it's reading my face.
Yes, exactly.
And we did those little joint exercises. It takes 15 minutes.
Yeah.
They probably difference.
Wow.
I woke up in the morning
wow.
feeling entirely different.
Wow.
So, the thing, one of the things about it is, I think when people think about fitness, they think about, well, you have to go out and run 5 miles or run a marathon or something. It can be 15 minutes.
That's right.
A habit, and yeah. frustrations take 7 or 8 minutes.
Yeah.
A habit like that can make so much difference, and it's so simple.
Yeah, so simple. There's one author who uses the phrase, it's easy to do, and it's easy not to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what gets us.
That's right.
It's really easy not to do it.
That's right.
And it doesn't seem like it's going to make a giant difference, right? So, I mean, in this case, it did.
Yep.
But often we don't necessarily feel, you know, completely different after we do it. But over time,
yep.
in either direction, we really feel it.
Yeah, sometimes when, you know, one of those positions and the frustrations, I think, can I imagine my mother doing this at my age? And I can't.
Mm-hmm.
Because in her generation, you didn't do that. Right
uh-huh.
you know? Yeah, and it's one of those moments of, I'm just so grateful.
Yeah.
For this body, for still doing this.
Yeah.
And I can do it because I do it.
Yeah.
That's all it takes.
Yeah.
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 Well, it's not always often for people, it isn't all it takes, but it can be all it takes.
Yeah. Well, and there's the doing it can be an expression of the gratitude that I do have a body that's able to do that.
Oh, yeah.
So, one thing I've been working with of late is this idea that, let's see, how would I say it, that there are things,
a little bit more volume, actually.
Okay. That there are things that are just coming on the periphery that I'm being asked to do or that I want to do, and it feels like they're out of range for my current skill set or whatever I would say, right? And that the way we've always described that is that they're there because I'm adequate to it,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which, of course, conditioning always hates because
right.
it wants to, you know, have a good excuse. You know, it's just too hard. It's just all that kind of
stuff. I would. It's just outside the. You not see the circle here? It's outside. Yeah.
It's on the periphery. Now I do the things that are kind of more in the middle. We're gonna wait for those to kind of come in the middle.
It needs to migrate towards the middle, and then I'll do it.
Then we're on to it. Not a problem. And kind of reframing that now as that what's actually happening is the stories about it, essentially it's being communicated is the stories about it are overinflated.
Oh, very good.
So they're actually in the middle.
No.
But the story that I'm believing about it puts it on the periphery. Yeah. And it's helpful. And that place of, well, center can do it.
Yeah.
Is the spot that I mean it just knows.
Yeah.
And maybe it's something I don't have a lot of experience with, so there may be a learning period.
Mm-hmm.
But even the getting started is easier than conditioning would have me believe in that place.
Yes. Yeah.
And then the image is like here's this thing, it's out on the periphery. And it's kind of, it's like it's this whole, it's like being supported, right? It's aiming for me. Right?
Yeah.
It's kind of, I've kind of pulled it in, right? I mean, whatever I'm doing, I've kind of pulled it out here, and it's moving that way. And all it's doing is just cleaning everything up along the way till it, till it reaches home. And, it's just a fun.
So actually, that movement from the periphery to the center is actually quite a beneficial movement, not just because it's moving to the center, but because it's cleaning things up along the way. That's handy.
Exactly.
Like a little cardio Pac-Man.
Yeah. It is, right. Yeah, just munching up whatever that is. And it's like it knows what's in the way that needs to be. I don't know if that's a good way to describe it, but there's a match there.
Yeah.
This task is directly opposed by the conditioning.
Yeah.
And so here it comes, and you know it's going to start eating holes in it and carry on with it until.
Yeah. So I picture this big washing machine that isn't working. Right. There's that sound off. Not really a washing machine repair person, right?
Yeah.
But step by step by step, taking each step.
That's it.
And then guess what? The washing machine is working.
Yeah.
And without that story, that's just it. That's how all of life is unfolding.
Seems like it. Yeah. So very fun.
Very fun. Thank you.